Hey, Pastor Stephen here. Welcome to the Abundant Springs Podcast. If you haven't already, be sure to check us out online at abundantsprings.church. And now, on to this week's message.
This morning, we're on the final message in this three-week series called Silence. And you'll remember in the first week, I talked about how I went through my own period of what I like to call the dark night of the soul. This time where I felt like no matter what I did, I couldn't hear from God. I felt like I was just depressed. I was anxious. I was lost. I didn't know what God had for me or really even who I was supposed to be. And so throughout the beginning of 2017, I was wrestling with this. But what I began to see as time progressed is that perhaps this time of silence was not started because of things that were going on in my life. But I began to recognize that there were actually reasons why it continued. That there were things that I needed to do to see this time of silence end. And I think that all of us are going to experience seasons in our lives where God seems more distant or where it just seems like we can't hear from God. It's just a natural part of who we are, and God uses it to teach us. He uses it to grow us. He uses it to deal with us. But what if I told you that some of the seasons that we spend in this time of silence and feeling like we're not hearing from God, if it actually turned out that we could have them be fewer and further between and shorter? What if I told you that sometimes some of these things could actually be avoided if we just kind of changed the way that we look at life, the way that we relate to Jesus? Already in this series, the first week, we talked about looking to our past and the past of other believers and the things that are going on in the lives of other believers to be able to illuminate the way forward when things are darkest. And as we shared about these things, I hope that you saw that, you know what? Whether you're new to the faith or you've been with Jesus for a long time, when things are going in a difficult direction, you can look backwards and go, wow, there's hope, right? But on the flip side then, we also had Eva last week who gave a tremendous message. I listened to it. The audio is available online. We haven't gotten the video quite ready yet to be able to put online, but that is going to be coming. But she spoke a tremendous message about the need for us to deal with sin in our lives, about how sin can push us away from God. It can create a distance between us. God is still there, but it deadens us. And how we need to repent of sin. And sometimes us not hearing God, us feeling like God is far away, comes about or is extended because we refuse to deal with sin in our lives. And we need to confess it and repent of it and get it out of there so that Satan doesn't have a foothold in our lives. But today, as we finish off this series, what I want to bring across is that you may not be hearing God because you're not truly listening. Now, I know that some of you are going to be a little bit offended, actually maybe a little bit mad at me for saying that. Like, I'm trying to listen to God, but I just don't hear him. But I think we need to define hearing and listening for a second, because it is completely possible to try to hear someone and to not listen to someone. See, right now, if you're sitting here, as I speak, sound waves are coming out from my mouth and out from the speakers behind me, and they're reverberating through the air, and they're getting to your ears, and they're reverberating in the eardrums, which translate that sound into things that your brain can process, and then you hear that sound. Now, you're hearing that whether you're paying attention to me or not. But if you're not paying attention to me, you're going to leave here today and you're going to be like, those were really good Nanaimo bars. And that's great. I hope you come from this place and you leave and you say, those were really good Nanaimo bars. But I hope that there's more that you remember than just how awesome the snacks were today, okay? Because as good as the snacks were, I do believe it doesn't matter how good the food is, God's word can impact us more and in more ways than just triggering our sweet tooth or making our waistlines expand, you know. There's so much more that God's word, that the Bible can do in our lives, that the Holy Spirit can speak into us. And so same thing, if you're here and you're sitting there and you just got your eyes closed and then you start to get distracted or you start to just kind of fall asleep a little bit, you're still hearing, but you're not listening. And when you don't listen, it's not going to make an impact on your life. And so you may not be hearing God, not because he's not speaking, not because there isn't something that's niggling in your brain trying to get you to change something or to go in a certain direction, but because you're not truly listening. And with that, I think that we need to pray and ask that God will help us to listen. So will you bow your heads with me? Heavenly Father, I just thank you for the opportunity to gather together, to worship you, to praise you, and to hear from you. God, right now, as I speak, as we sit here in this place, will you ready our ears to listen, our minds and our hearts to listen and to receive what you have for us today? Lord, will you convict us of all unrighteousness? Will you push us to a place of repentance? And will you help us get to this area in our lives where we truly desire to listen? Where we allow that to make an impact in our lives. And so, Heavenly Father, please take these feeble human words that I'm about to speak and make them something that's actually worthwhile through the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. So you may not be hearing because you're not truly listening. In fact, you may be ignoring what God's already told you. This was my experience in my life. In fact, even until just a few months ago, I was still, you know, I was through this darkest moment, but I still felt like there was something that was keeping me from really hearing God. And see, God had been working on me for a while, telling me that I needed to start the process of reconciliation with someone that I felt hadn't done their part yet. And so I was given a little bit of pushback. And so I was like, God's not speaking to me. Meanwhile, God's like, hello, you know what you need to do. I've already spoken to you. I'm not going to tell you anything else because you can't even handle the one thing that I told you to do already. And so I wasn't hearing from God until the moment that I decided, you know what? Okay, I've got all these reasons why I shouldn't, why it doesn't make sense, why it's not fair, but I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to do this. And then let me tell you that while starting the reconciliation process wasn't easy and it's ongoing even today, that moment of listening and obeying opened things up. It opened things up. And so it may be that you're ignoring what God's already told you, maybe because you're afraid. Have you ever been there before? You're like, God, that's really scary, and I don't know that I want to do that. That's going to hurt. That's going to be painful. It's going to be difficult. It's going to require sacrifice. We just had a 5-part message series on this called Chase the Lion. And so you're welcome to go back and watch it or listen to it again online. You can go ahead and do that. But we talked about how God will sometimes lay things on our hearts that just seem outrageously difficult. And we get scared. But that if we allow our fear to prevent us from entering into obedience, that's not a great thing. So maybe you're ignoring God because you're afraid, or maybe you're ignoring God because you don't like it. You don't like what he has to say. And so this can actually come into what Eva talked about last week about sin, right? Sometimes God will convict you about something and you don't like what he's convicting you of. You're like, this is my favorite thing in life. I'm not giving that up. God, it's not fair. Have you ever noticed that sometimes when we relate to God, when he gets after us for something in our lives that doesn't honor him, that we sound a lot like a 2-year-old? Like, just an observation. I have a 2-year-old. I know what they sound like. And it really is. Realistically, we sound like anybody that is... Everybody. Even adults sound like this. I mean, you know, something unfair happens and you just have to look at your Facebook feed and you see how immature we sound. And we do this with God, you know? Just, but God... I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. Jonah, there's an Old Testament prophet, a guy that used to speak on behalf of God. And I find it so fascinating because as we read the book of Jonah and this encounter that Jonah had with God, God tells Jonah, hey, listen, there's these people, the Ninevites. I want you to go to Nineveh, these people that are doing some really not good stuff. And I want you to tell them that they need to turn away from all this stuff that they've been doing in their lives, and that if they don't, they're going to be destroyed, but if they do, then I'm going to relent and they'll be saved. And what we miss when we come to the story of Jonah is that Jonah in this moment is not afraid of the Ninevites. But in fact, the only fear in his life is that God is going to actually do what he said that he's going to do, because Israel and Nineveh were huge enemies. Nineveh is the capital city of the Empire of Assyria, which for years had been oppressing the nation of Israel. And so Jonah hates Ninevites. But God says, I want you to go and do this. Jonah actually later on, after he preaches to the people of Nineveh finally, and they turn from their sin, he actually gets mad. He actually says, he prays to the Lord and said, "Oh Lord, is not this what I said when I was yet in my country? That is why I made haste to flee to Tarshish, for I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and relenting from disaster. Therefore now, oh Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live." So he hates the Ninevites so much that he decides he's going to disobey God. He runs the opposite direction of Nineveh, gets on a boat, and tries to head to Tarshish. A lot of us know the story. The boat ends up coming across this huge storm. Everyone's wondering what's going on. They wake up Jonah. They stand around. They pull straws or cast lots, and Jonah gets the short stick, right? And they're like, "Man, what did you do?" And he says, "Oh, nothing, you know, I just disobeyed the God Most High, the creator of the heaven, the earth, and the seas." And they're like, "We're on the sea, are you stupid?" So he says, "Yeah, well, you know, the only way that this is going to happen, I deserve it, you guys don't deserve to die, just toss me overboard." And so they do. But God's not done with him yet, so he has a fish swallow him. Crazy story. And it takes 3 days in the belly of this whale for Jonah to start like saying, "You know what, God, I think I'm ready to go to Nineveh now." I don't know about you, but I think the first day in the belly of the whale, I'd be like, "God, I'm done now. I want out." But there's Jonah, and he's still there. He's like, "I'm not hearing from God right now." And just, you got to wonder, you know, the storm comes, you're thrown over the side, you're thinking, this is it. Now you're inside a whale. The impossible has happened. And you're possibly going like, "I still haven't heard from God. I'm still waiting for God to speak to me right now." He has. So Jonah, he confesses and he agrees to do what God told him to do, even though he didn't like it. And so God upsets the stomach of this whale, and it barfs him up on a beach somewhere. Part of me wonders if one of the reasons the Ninevites listened so well to Jonah is because they figured anybody that comes in smelling like fish barf with a story like his, gotta listen. You may be ignoring what God has already told you to do, and maybe that's why you feel like you aren't hearing from God, because he already spoke. And you're just like, "No, it can't be." Or maybe it is that you don't think it's God. A lot of people have a hard time hearing and listening to God because they don't think that what they are hearing is God. Now, some people, they actually believe that once the Bible was completely written and once it was canonized, as in once we decided what books are from God and which ones are not and put it all together into print, that the Holy Spirit's job was done, and so all the gifts that were given to the church were taken away and that the Holy Spirit stopped speaking. And this isn't something that we're going to get into today. If you have questions about this, it's called cessationism. Feel free to talk to me and we can have a chat about where people are getting this impression from and why it's wrong. Because God does still speak. And in fact, one of the greatest things that we have to cling to is the fact that Jesus died for us. And in that moment of dying upon the cross, Jesus, God in the flesh, dying for us, the innocent, taking upon himself our punishment, our consequences of sin, as we're told in the book of Hebrews, that in that action, he moved aside the curtain that blocked us from the Holy of Holies, from the presence of God, and that he ushers us into that. And in fact, we're told in the Bible that we now are adopted as sons and daughters of the Most High God when we choose to repent of our sin, as in turn away from those wrong things that offend the heart of God and begin to follow and trust in Jesus and accept what he did on the cross as covering our sins and bringing us life. That we are sons and daughters of God. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't think that the Heavenly Father, who is perfect and righteous and truthful and just, would invite us into our presence to tell us that he's not going to speak to us. I believe that God still speaks. In fact, so did the Apostle Paul in his letter to the church of Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 1. He writes that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom, and listen to this, and of revelation in the knowledge of him. What is revelation? It is to reveal something. And so he asks that he'll give you the spirit, the Holy Spirit, who gives us wisdom, who reveals the knowledge of God. You might say, well, that's one text, Pastor, and maybe you're wrong. Okay, so Paul again says to the church in Corinth, 1 Corinthians 14, what then, brothers, when you come together, each one has a hymn, a lesson, a revelation, a tongue or an interpretation, let all things be done for building up. There's that word again, a revelation. The Spirit of God works through the church and still speaks. Maybe that's still not enough. And so Paul also writes to the church of Galatia in Galatians chapter 2. And he says, I went up because of a... That was pathetic. Let's say that a little bit more than one or two people. When I go like this and I make it very obvious what the answer is, we can go ahead and respond. This is me making sure that you're listening instead of just merely hearing, all right? So I went up because of a... Hey, that's better. And set before them, though privately, before those who seemed influential, the gospel that I proclaim among the Gentiles in order to make sure that I was not running or had not run in vain. God speaks to people. The voice of God is there. But see, if God still speaks today, it creates a problem for us because we may not understand how he speaks. Have you ever been there where you're like, I think I heard from God, but I'm not sure that I heard from God? Right? I think of the prophet Samuel. In the story where, right, there he is, he's in the temple because his parents gave him to God, and so he's living in the temple with the priest Eli, and so he's sleeping there and he hears his name, Samuel. So he wakes up and like a really obedient child, he runs into Eli's room and he's like, here I am! You called me! And Eli's just, why are you waking me up? Go to bed, I didn't call you. And so he goes back to bed, and again he hears the voice, Samuel. And so he runs back to Eli and he says, here I am, you called me. And Eli starts to clue in a little bit about what's happening. He says, you know what, just go back to bed, and when the voice calls you again, say, here I am, Lord, your servant is listening. And so Samuel does this, and the voice comes again, and he says, here I am, Lord, your servant is listening. And God begins to speak to him. See, Samuel didn't understand how to recognize the voice of God. And so he mistook it for something that it wasn't. He wrote it off as just his guardian asking him to come and do something. But it was God speaking. And you know, God speaks in many different ways. He speaks through other believers. Sometimes he speaks through unbelievers, if you can believe that or not. Speaks through the Bible. But do you know that the Holy Spirit in you, if you follow Jesus, you have the Holy Spirit of God in you, and he speaks into your life? He does. And you know what? You might hear him speaking into your life and you might think, no, that's just me. But there's something that I've learned over time is that often when I ask God something, thoughts come to me that are oddly coherent and that really don't make sense for them to be coming from me. And I've learned to begin to recognize that maybe, just maybe, that's the voice of God. See, God doesn't always speak this audible way where it's just like your next door neighbor is talking to you, but I have found that God does speak. And that as we draw closer to him and press into him more, and as we intentionally say, God, teach me your voice, we do begin to recognize his voice. So you may not be hearing God because you're not truly listening, and it may be that you're ignoring what God has already told you, or that you don't understand that it is God speaking to you. But here's another thing that might be happening. You may not be leaving God room to speak. You may not be leaving God room to speak. I mean, here's the first thing, okay? I'm going to pick this up again. And a lot of you already know what's coming. Are you reading the Bible regularly? I know we make lots of mistakes. Yes, we do that too. We make lots of excuses, okay? We do. And some of us, we've grown up in traditions where because we fail to read our Bible as much as we think that we should, we have guilt laid on us, and I don't intend for that at all. Okay, if life gets in the way and you end up forgetting to read your Bible or not reading your Bible for a long period of time, you know what? It's not great for you, but God still loves you. Jesus isn't going to abandon you because he's like, oh, you didn't spend enough time in the Bible this week, and so I'm done with you. That's not what he does at all. He desperately longs to be with you. But let me, just before any of you start patting yourself on the back because you're like, I have a fantastic devotional time. Are you taking time to reflect on what you're reading in the Bible? See, I remember growing up, I would want to get through the Bible as fast as I could because my parents did something that we actually do for our kids now too, where they would pay me for every book of the Bible that I would complete because they wanted God's word to be in my heart. The problem is I found out that if you read really, really fast, you could make money a lot faster. And so I wouldn't take the time to actually sit with it. I think we do this sometimes with our Bible reading plans too, right? We say, I'm going to get through the Bible in a year. Or I'm going to get through the Bible twice in a year because God will love me more if I do that. And so what we do is we spend all this time just reading the Bible, and then we don't actually just meditate on it. We don't allow it to fill us and to work in us, and we don't take time to memorize it or to reflect on what it has to say to us or to slow down and read it out loud. Let me tell you, if you struggle with slowing down, read out loud. Not only will hearing it while you're speaking it and reading it impress God's word more on your heart, but it slows you down, so you have to meditate on his word. All right, so there's reading the Bible and reflecting on it. How about this? Are you doing all the talking when you pray? I mean, a precursor to that is, are you praying? Now, I don't know why you wouldn't pray. Prayer takes no time at all. I can be driving and praying. I can be sitting down listening to, a really bad music recital, and I can be praying, God, please make this stop. Are you doing all the talking when you pray? I know that we all know that one person in our life who talks so fast and so constantly that the only way to get a word in edgewise is to literally jump in and loudly and forcefully interrupt them. Right? In fact, I've had a few people in my life who are that way. And I always feel really bad because I was always taught you don't interrupt people. But I quickly learned that if you don't interrupt some people, you'll never talk. And you know, God is a gentleman, and most of the time he doesn't interrupt us. And so if we just sit there and we're like, blah, 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 I'm so spiritual because I pray like the Pharisees do, then you may not hear from God, or you may not at least realize that you're hearing from God. You need to leave space for God to do some talking. You may not be leaving room for God to speak. Are you crowding your life with too much noise? There's a principle in professional audio and recording, and it's called the signal to noise ratio. And so what this is, every microphone, every cable, every soundboard, every speaker, it has a ratio that you can look up, and it's the ratio of the amount of noise that comes through versus signal. And the better the microphone, the lower the noise in that component. Okay? And the reason why you want a low signal-to-noise ratio is because if the noise competes with the signal, it's going to sound really bad. In fact, if you buy really cheap stuff, you may find that it's actually reversed and there's more noise than there is signal. And when we just fill our lives with too much stuff, too many commitments, right? We spend too much time at work. We let our kids get involved in too many activities. We watch TV, whatever it may be in our lives. As we crowd things in, as we come home and we finally got a moment where the kids aren't there, and what do? We turn on the television and bombard ourselves with messages that don't even honor or glorify God, all in the name of not feeling alone, of not feeling awkward. And so we fill our lives with noise to the point where we drown out the voice of God. C.S. Lewis wrote in the Screwtape Letters, it's a fictional account of these two demons writing letters back and forth about how they can derail Christians. And one of the things that they talk about is how if they can just get Christians to have enough noise in their lives that they can stop them from hearing the voice of the Creator, and that there will be the greatest victory that they can win. And friends, today we purposely invade our lives with constant and incessant noise to the point where we deaden ourselves from the voice of God. So today, here's how you can start to truly listen for God's voice, and now we can put those slides on the screen. First is read scripture slowly and with an eye to be changed. Not just with an eye to read through it or to get as much as we can, but with an eye to be changed. God, speak to me today about how you want to transform my life through what I read in this book. Secondly, treat prayer like a conversation. That means it needs to go both ways. Here's a novel thing that I've been learning more and more over the last while. Conversations work best when you ask questions and then listen for a response. If you're just there telling stories and then you leave an awkward pause and hope the other person is going to fill it in, it's really hard to identify, especially in prayer, if that's God speaking. But what would happen in your prayer life if you began to say, Jesus, what do you think about me? Jesus, what's one thing that you're proud of in my life? Jesus, what's a sin in my life that I need to confess and I need to work on? Where am I weak? God, what do you want me to do in this situation? What if we began to ask questions of God and actually listen? What if our prayer list also included times where we would ask God about things in our life? God, is this your will? And then instead of going, well, God will show me if it's his will at some point, we actually stopped and gave him a chance to tell us if it's his will. He does it. Suddenly you'll find that voice that comes into your head, you recognize, hey, you know what? This might be God. He might be telling me something. You might say, well, God would never tell me that, but sometimes maybe he's challenging you. And this brings me into point number three, use a journal. I know that for some of us, it doesn't seem like the most masculine thing, or it seems like something that we did when we were little kids, right? Dear diary. But man, when you have a journal where you can write down what God is speaking to you and what you're praying about and the things that he's been bringing across into your life, when you can really begin to explore things. Here's what I've found since I began to use a journal more for praying and actually asking God questions. As I write down my prayer, I'm more intentional with how I pray. But not only that, then when I sit there and I listen and I feel like God is speaking to me, rather than mentally just going, well, that could be, that couldn't be, you know what, be quiet, I'm waiting for God to speak to me. I write down what I feel like he's saying, and then I can look at it and go, what about this do I need more clarity on? What does this mean for me? And sometimes I'll actually do a follow-up question. Okay, so you say that, but what about this? And I've actually had God bring Bible passages to mind, and I'll look it up thinking, yeah, this is just totally me, and it'll speak exactly to the situation that I want. There's other times where he will just give me a word, and I'll be like, that's not me, it's God. And I'll tell you that when I didn't journal, I threw a lot of those things to the side thinking it was just my busy brain. Brings us to the fourth thing, be open to what God may be saying. Sometimes we're not open to it. Sometimes we don't like it. Sometimes we don't think that he would challenge us in that way. But be open to it. But importantly, number five, test everything against Scripture. See, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He does not change. His character does not change. And so what that means is that if you're here and you feel like God is telling you it's totally okay to go and sleep with that married person because your marriage is unhappy and God wants you to be happy, if you read the Bible, you're going to recognize that that is not God speaking, but it's actually the enemy or the flesh within you speaking of something that you want. Okay, if anything that you feel comes from God, if you then take back to what God has already revealed about himself, and you recognize that it stands opposed to what God has revealed about himself, it is not God. And so please do me the favor of not making me be the one to crush your little bubble and tell you that that thing that you think is totally from God and that you're super happy about it is actually you living a lifestyle of sin that is crushing your relationship with God. Because I've had to do that. And it's not fun. And having been open to what God says, having tested it all against Scripture, number 6, do what God says. A lot of us like to pray because it makes us feel spiritual, but as soon as God says, this is what I want you to do now, we say, God, come on. Come on. No, no, no. No, 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 no. Not me. God, I have a pastor for that. My pastor is the one that does the big long prayers, you know. My pastor is the one that starts ministries. My pastor is the one who reaches out to people, and he's in charge of finding ways to make people come to know Jesus. It's not me. It's not me. Do what God says. So friends, this is an ongoing process for me, but I've found that doing these things, looking to the past, confessing and repenting of sin and turning away from it, and beginning to intentionally listen, has changed the way that I relate to God. It really has. And we have to do this with discernment. But I think that we need to be more open to it, because God does still speak today. So you may not be hearing God because you're not truly here at this church. We have a vision to see 600 people touched with the love of Jesus and 20 new, vibrant, fruitful believers in Jesus by the end of 2020. We're getting close to the point where that is only 2 years away. 2 years to do what we have not done in the 5 years prior. And you might say, Pastor Stephen, that is big, that's audacious, that's impossible. But nothing is impossible for God. And nothing is impossible if we grab a hold of the fact that we are spirit-filled, spirit-led, spirit-empowered believers in Jesus, that every one of us is a minister, that every one of us has a ministry, and that no one is called to be a spectator. And that includes the way that we relate to God through prayer. It can't just be me that prays. It's got to be all of us that are praying in our own time and also together. And so if you're ready to catch a hold of this vision, to take up the challenge, the call of God, here's what I'm calling you into today. Having given thanks for God's past faithfulness and having confessed and turned from your sin, set aside no less than half an hour. I know some people. Then half an hour every day to spend reading your Bible, praying, and listening for what God wants to say to you. If you feel like that is an impossible task, Pastor Stephen, you don't know my life, there's nothing, no half hour for me to find, I welcome you to come to me with your schedule in hand and we will find you half an hour, because I guarantee that I can cut something out of your life that doesn't matter as much as this does. So please take me up on the challenge. I will help you with that. Spend it reading your Bible, praying, and listening for what God wants to say to you. And if you miss a day, don't feel bad, but recognize that if you can do this, and if you do it with an expectation, that you're going to begin to see, we're all going to begin to see God move in powerful ways in our lives. And so with that, I am going to pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you today for the opportunity to hear from you, to learn how to hear from you. And I ask that in each one of our lives that you will begin to just inspire us to truly listen to what you are saying to us right now, that we'll begin to clean the clutter out of our lives and live lives of simplicity, Lord. That rather than turning on the TV as background while we clean or while we do our daily chores, Lord, that we will begin a dialogue with you in that moment. That we'll ask you to speak into our lives. And God, I ask that you will empower us and embolden us to go out into this community of Pincher Creek, into the street corners, into the 7-Elevens and the restaurants, and into the gas stations, the highways and the byways, Lord God, that we will just let people know that you love them, that we will share our story of the gospel with them and how it's impacted our lives and changed us, God, and that your Holy Spirit will go forward in front of us and within us, and that we will see people begin to be changed by the power of the Holy Spirit in their lives and the power of what Jesus did on the cross for them. Lord, we thank you that you are risen, that in you we have victory, and that we are being changed day by day as we allow you. Thank you, Lord.
Maybe you're listening and you've been seeking Jesus for a while, trying to make sense of who he is and what he's all about. I want you to know that God, in his infinite love, has been pursuing you. God wants to have a life-giving relationship with you. But the fact is that every person is born with a rebellious heart and is separated from the life that only comes through a true relationship with their Creator. So God did something magnificent. He knew that we could not repair the broken relationship ourselves, so he came to us. And we're told that while we were still sinners in active rebellion against God, Jesus Christ died for us. In John 3:16, Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have everlasting life." So, if you're ready to have that newfound life through a relationship with Jesus, I'd like to invite you to pray a prayer with me, confessing with your mouth that Jesus is Master and believing in your heart that God raised him from the dead. As you dedicate your life to following Christ Jesus, you will receive forgiveness for your sins and you will be adopted into the family of God. Let's pray. God, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I deserve the consequences of my sin. However, I'm trusting in your Son, Jesus Christ, as my Savior. I believe that his death and resurrection provided for my forgiveness. I trust in Jesus and Jesus alone as my Master and my Savior. Thank you, Lord, for saving me and forgiving me. Help me to leave my old ways behind and to live as you would have me live from this time forward. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed that prayer from your heart, I want to welcome you into the family of God. Your next step is to connect with a local church so that you can be shown how to grow in this new relationship with Jesus. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us again next week for more Bible-based encouragement.